hello, campers, and this is Tales from the Campfire Podcast.
Hello, hello, campers. Welcome to Tales from the Campfire Podcast. I'm joined by Kevin.
What up?
And Manny.
Lechuza.
Milk. Or lettuce. We are not in the same room tonight for this episode. We are separate but united.
Across the seven seas.
Yes, we have crossed the seven seas.
Across the seven streets, more like it.
The seven zip codes.
Well, no shit. Where Kevin's at, there's like four zip codes in just that town.
Mm-hmm. It's not even that big. It's tiny.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah. So, guys, if we sound a little weird tonight, that's why.
That's why.
Come on, it's better than nothing. We haven't put out anything in like 2 weeks because we haven't been able to meet up and actually record an episode. So I figure at this point, better than nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, you know what I can do?
Sound like a fucking robot?
I can fucking stand up. Holy crap, I don't have to sit down.
Yeah.
I can fucking stand up.
You can stand up for days, my guy.
Dude, check that. Dude, my mic even gets up this high too. This is perfect for me because this chair isn't very good for my butt.
You need to drop the change on one of these $200 chairs.
I sold mine to Keegan. I got to get another one.
We are here to tell you tales of the creepy, the weird, and the highly strange. This week, we will be talking about Portlock, Alaska. Not only is it in the Great Frontier, but it's also home to something strange. You may have heard about, maybe not.
Egan's cousins.
Yeah. But before we get into that, Kevin, let's go ahead and hear some of that news.
Yes. Deputies in Yavapai County responded to a call last week, 10 miles out of Sedona, in Coronville, Arizona. They received a report about a javelina stuck in a Subaru. Hey.
Javelina stuck.
Warthog. I don't know why it doesn't say warthog, but that's fine.
All right, a warthog stuck in a Subaru station. A Subaru station wagon. For those who don't know, javelinas are pigs, or like pig-like animals that are native to desert environment. Just kind of strange because I've lived in Arizona for 3 years and never saw a single one. So sure, native to an area like that. After speaking with the car's owner and other residents, they determined the car's hatchback had been left open overnight. At some point, the javelina jumped into a bag of Cheetos and the hatch closed, trapping the animal inside. Authorities say the javelina ripped off a portion of the dashboard and then and the inside of a door in attempt to escape. Damn. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. The animal then managed to knock the car back into neutral, causing it to roll down the driveway and across the street. Subaru came to rest and the javelina was not injured. A deputy opened the hatch and the javelina was able to run back into the wilderness. The end.
The end.
Yeah, the javelinas are like feral pigs.
Like little pigs?
Yeah, yeah, like they're kind of like the feral pigs, just smaller. I refer to them as Fuzzy Pumbas.
Fuzzy Pumbas. Oh, that's adorable, Manny. All right. Yeah, so that's
the javelinas.
Yeah, that's a pig for you.
Some strange things happening Cheetos, down man. In Cornville, apparently.
No one can resist Cheetos.
I was going to say that bag of Cheetos has a big old 2-passenger hatchback in it.
What?
Well, because it said it jumped into a bag of Cheetos and the hatch closed. I was like,
it's, it's a giant bag of Cheetos with a little hatchback, a little like, you know, Honda hatchback inside of it. And then a pig inside that. It's like a Russian nesting egg.
Yeah. They, like Ash says, it was going to Hakuna Matata them Cheetos.
Hakuna Matata them bitches. All right. Park Township, Michigan. Police are investigating the theft of a 7-foot-tall metal Sasquatch lawn ornament from a home in St. Joseph's County's Park Township on or after March 22nd. My birthday. The item is crafted from sheet metal and has a rusty brown color with various sharp edges to resemble the fur of the mythical ape-like Bigfoot. It appears the Sasquatch was cut away from a steel post with a pair of bolt cutters or a similar instrument, police said. A white panel van with tinted driver and passenger side windows was observed parked in the area on March the 22nd.
Set him free!
Take him back to the woods!
Be free, my friend. Run.
Just gonna be a Sasquatch in the desert.
It's back like with nature.
You guys see the thing? It was a long time ago now. It was back, I think, in like 2020, but it was like a monolith. Is that what you call it?
Those metal beams that were just in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And they had to like put money into actually just hauling these fucking things on. No one knows why they were put there.
Well, supposedly the police went to go take the thing out of the desert and they were gone.
Oh, it was just gone.
So, yeah. So the people who set up the art display like took it, and the only thing they left behind was like the bottom panel of it. And it was just sitting there. There's like a picture somewhere on Reddit of people like, we just spent 22 hours driving to the middle of fucking nowhere to find nothing.
It's just gone. Damn. Well, it kind of reminds me of that, but with a small miniature Sasquatch statue.
I wonder how this thing was mounted, if it only took some bolt cutters to take it down.
You think it must have been like little steel pegs coming out of the bottom of it.
Yeah,
it's still, but bolt cutters?
Or it was chained.
I mean, if it was just sheet metal and it was just welded to a like a plate or something like that, bolt cutters can take care of it.
Yeah.
If it was just sheet metal.
Just clip through them.
Yep.
It's like nobody noticed the guys with the grinder.
Right. No, there's no sparks involved. There was no machinery.
No loud squeals of metal.
It was a la lechuza grinder.
Yeah. Straight lettuce.
Okay, Manny. Let's go ahead and hear about our good old friend, the man from Florida, Florida man.
Florida man, why did the alligator cross the road? Not sure we'll ever know, but it's sure that the attention of drivers, motorists in Sarasota, Florida, came to a halt Thursday when a 10-foot alligator, missing a front foot, made its way across a street. Daniel Kaufman stopped in the roadway to record a video of the gator crossing and said, "We got a straight hog. Look at that beast. They're like 10-footer.
We got a straight hog.
You know how many tacos we get out of this one right here? Like, last time. Good eating.
Shoot them, Jason.
Shoot. I got my whack-em stick. It's good to go. We're going to have some dinner tonight. Gator. Gator jerky. Gator a la king. Gator a la carte. You know, all the good stuff. Yummy.
The giant reptile could be seen slowly making its way across several lanes of traffic before picking up speed. Wow. At the median and heading right towards Kaufman as he recorded the video, saying,
"He's going to get under my truck. It's official. He's under my truck."
As the gator got closer to Kaufman, passed under his truck, Kaufman said he felt his truck move. It's not known what happened to the gator after the incident. Sounds like they got himself a little bit of gator stew in that jambalaya.
Gator stew.
Everybody knows a good gator stew.
Authorities say that Kaufman came back to the station with a brand new pair of alligator boots and belt, but was unaware of the whereabouts of the large gator.
Okay.
Crocodile skin fedora.
Wow. Seriously, it's just stories like that where it's like shit that only happens in Florida.
Serious.
All right. So yeah, no game tonight. We'll just go ahead and jump right into our topic, which is Portlock, Alaska.
Alaska.
Let's see. Pulling this from Wikipedia. Portlock is a ghost town in the U.S. states of America. S states. Portlock is a ghost town in the U.S. state of Alaska, located on the southern edge of the Kenai Peninsula, around 16 miles south of Saldovia. It is located in Port Chatham Bay, or Chatham Bay, after which an adjacent community takes its namesake. Named after Nathaniel Portlock, the town was an active cannery community in the early 20th century. The residents of the town purportedly fled en masse by 1950 after a number of unsolved murders and disappearances. All right.
Ooh.
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 All right. So.
All right.
I'm finding my place. The history of this alleged creepiest place in Alaska is indeed remarkable. By every right, it earns the classification of a real-deal ghost town, flush with tales of a Sasquatch-like creature terrorizing the locals. There were reports of dozens of missing and murdered cannery workers at a ghostly white-faced woman screaming and moaning, wearing a long black dress, levitating, and appearing out of the cliffs. Evil forces driving the inhabitants away from their sacred ancestral lands. Evidently, in the 1920s, stories started popping up around the Kenai Peninsula about weird happenings in Port Chatham. There were wild yarns of a creature said to walk on 2 feet, haunting the nearby chromium mining camp. There were also reports of trees that were completely ripped out of the ground, turned upside down, and thrust back into the ground with their roots facing up into the air. I feel like I just got done rapping. Ripped out of the ground, turned upside down, and thrust back down into the ground. Kevin, you want to read that next part?
How far do you want me to go? You want me to just hit all four of those sections there?
Just go until you want Manny to read. I don't really care.
We'll just go from like ad to ad.
I'm trying to figure out where the hell this link is still. So.
Okay. Then there was a report of mysterious death in 1931. A logger named Andrew Kamluck, that's a fun one. It appeared that he had been hit over the head with a huge piece of logging equipment, something that a man could not have lifted and swung. When they found his body, there was blood on the crane, and he was a good 10 feet from it. It looked as if someone thing picked it up and bonked him over the head and tossed the very heavy piece of equipment aside. I like how they still tried to like PG that and just went bonked.
Bonked.
But he got freaking clubbed.
They fucked him over the head.
Yeah. In the 1940s, the events truly turned frightening, as if some man getting hit over the head with a crane. Wasn't scary enough.
You think that would be like the line of like, whoa, this isn't normal.
It's said that over the next 20 years, that up to 36 grossly mangled bodies had turned up along trails, rivers, as well as floating out in the bay. These bodies were said to be completely mutilated and essentially torn to shreds. Not resembling anything that a bear or wolf could do or would do. Cannery works refused to come to work one season and were
begged to return the following season with promises of armored guards protecting the camp around the clock. That's terrifying. Yeah, I wouldn't want to come to work either if I knew, you know, dude, there's like a thing worse than Wolfman out there and he's going to fuck you up.
Yeah, like when your day-to-day consists of being scared of bears and wolves and then all of a sudden, like, you have something to actually be scared of. Fuck that.
Yeah, no, that's a hard pass for me. You couldn't get me back. Yeah. Hell no. Hunters tracking moose would occasionally come across giant man-like tracks over 18 inches in length. One report that while closing in on a moose, there was signs of a struggle where the grass had been matted down. Then only the deep tracks of man-like animal departing toward the high fog-shrouded mountains. Mm. So this thing can take down moose.
Yeah. A whole gaggle of moose. Of meese.
In 1949, it is rumored that locals grew sick and tired of living in fear of this terrorizing Sasquatch. So overnight, they fled the town completely, leaving behind all of their possessions. What could have caused them to leave such a beautiful area? The home of their ancestors, rich with sustainable resources. What could it be true? Could there really be a serial killer Sasquatch just a short hop from Anchorage? And that's where Manny will pick up.
Woo. In next week's episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, next week, bitch.
Yeah.
Manny, have you not found it yet?
No, I found it.
Okay.
So that was the online Google and YouTube search portion of the research for this story. All very intriguing and mind-blowing. However, as much of a Bigfoot enthusiast as I am, I was smelling what the rock was cooking. Something foul. But it was certainly not the hairy man. I knew there was much more behind this gruesome story that I needed. I was prepping to get ready for the Harp Daddy Backcountry Blues Jam at the Schwarzenberghof Bar in Wasilla. Thinking about our featured band that Sunday, The Snow Goes, and their leader, longtime blues guitarist, Leo Ash. Leo and I went to Sildovia.
Oh, Svidania, bitch.
Svidania.
A few years ago with my band, and he spoke of growing up in Nanawalek, the village to where the evacuees from Port Chatham fled to. The light bulb flashed on, and I called him to discuss last-minute jam details, but really to see if he had any Sasquatch stories or relatives that might be interested in chatting for a piece that I was working on about murderous Sasquatch. He tells me, "You really want to piss off my mom, don't you? Ask her about Sasquatch." So within minutes, I was on the phone chatting with mom. Leo's mom, that is Sally Sash.
Leo's Sally... mom has got it going on.
Sally is Sakpike of Russian Alouette descent. She has lived in Nanawalek for most of her life and continues to speak her native language, Sakpum. Her mother was born in Dogfish Bay near Port Chatham. She tells me our people there, nomadic, went by the seasons. Wherever it was in season, they would move from place to place. They went through Port Chatham, Dogfish Bay, Seldovia, Homer, even Kodiak. Pollock was kind of creepy place, she admitted. They tell us, don't go out on foggy day.
Don't go out.
That's when she's walking around. You could run into him, and you'd never know what he might do.
Take all of your sausages and potatoes, and then you'll be left with nothing to eat.
for days, and he come back because he told me put an Apple AirTag in your pocket, and he sees you wherever you go.
You never even notice he pick lock to your house.
Goes ahead and poops in the tank of your toilet, so when you flush, only more poop. Come on.
Hey, Kevin, didn't you have a story related to that?
I kind of did. My dad came over for Easter. Yeah, I've been hanging out with him like all weekend. and he like looks at me at like the breakfast table. We're like having breakfast. He's like,
Kevin, I haven't pooped in 3 days. And finally, I pooped today and it clogs the toilet. I shit the brick, Kevin. Like, seriously, it's 3 days I haven't pooped. I don't know why. Like, he was so relieved to have like went to the bathroom.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Well, yeah, I would be too, because I'd be scared, honestly. But it's like he could just be, you know, quietly celebrating the shit, the first shit you've taken in 3 days. But I don't know. I found it funny because he's just, I literally shit a brick, Kevin. You have to understand.
I was in the bathroom and it was like, go to the chopper. Pa, 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 pa.
The war with you, my war, my hellhounds. Mine hell dachshunds.
Kevin, the toilet, stop flushing.
I plug it up.
Dude, I'm like serious when I say that. He was like so serious. I was laughing so hard.
Was, I don't understand what's so funny. Like, listen to yourself, man.
Yeah, it's scary. You didn't poop in 3 days, and you did. Cool story.
Kevin, it was like I giving love, birth to
I
child.
I love my dad, though. If he ever hears that I actually told this story online, like, he'd get mad.
Oh, well, it's out there now.
Yep. We all know the story now.
We all know it. If you had to hear about it, if I had to hear about it, you had to hear about it. So, oh my God. Oh,
man. 3 days, Kevin. 3 days.
I just like the idea that he was like tracking it too, you know, like
he counted.
He's like, okay, I haven't pooped in 2 days now. Oh, no, that's not good.
3 days.
I've got a little calendar putting check marks on it
with the brown marker.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. The heat.
You log all of them.
Yeah. You have to.
Today it was 2 inches, 43 grams.
Mostly cabbage and potatoes.
It did not float.
On the smell index is about the 7.
Oh, shit.
Literally.
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 Yeah, man. Yes. Oh my God, this is something that you will not see on your TDS reader. It's not dissolved yet.
Kevin, I left an AFR.
You have to up the chlorine levels now.
It was solid. Fish it out before you begin. I went to a, Kevin didn't get to go because he's already been to one, but I went to a pool training class the week before last week. Last week, something like that. And we learned all about AFR, which was accidental fecal release. And we learned about TDS, which is total dissolved solids. And what to do if someone leaves a solid turd in your pool. So it was very enlightening work. Very noble work.
Did most of it have to do with a fishnet?
Yeah.
You take your glove off and you grab it. Just like you would if you were going into a job pickles, grab it.
Yeah,
and then take a nice bite out of it so you know what he had for dinner. And then tell him what he could do different with his diet because he needs some muscles.
Jesus Christ, that got gross. Like, it'd be gross for me. You say take a big bite out of it? What the fuck are you saying? The he that she is talking about is their local form of Sasquatch known as Nantinak. Nantinak is not your typical everyday Sasquatch brute. Nantinak is more of a supernatural being. I think he is part human, Sally describes. He lived with people and then didn't want to be around them anymore, so he moved to the forest away from everybody. He started growing hair and he looked like a Bigfoot. Scary. My uncles, my grandfathers, they all talked about him. They tell us they live far away from people. They don't mix with people. A terrifying family story sprung to Sally's mind. My brother went up to the lake. He was tying off his skiff. He started smelling something really bad in the bushes. So he
it was my it. Dad's three-day-old shit.
God damn it. You were waiting, weren't you?
No. I've been petting my cat.
Something's going on here. Then he looked in there, and there was a man with his hands. There was a man with his
Stop
hands.
Stop the toilet.
Kevin. The bushes. In the back. In the back way, turned around. It looked like a man. It looked like a man. But he was all hairy and looked really scary. So he and our cousin took off running and didn't want to be up there. He wasn't sure if it was a Bigfoot, but there was a horrible smell, she said.
His feet smelled like 2 feet, big and stinky.
Bonky.
Why doesn't Sasquatch ever wear socks? That's the question.
Because they don't make them in his size, and that's why he screams at night. It's because he's picking out all the little pebbles and thorns and sticks out of his feet because he can't wear shoes or socks.
Shoes or socks.
It's his oath.
Instead, he must endure the pain of stinging bottoms of feet, knowing that no matter how much he wants a sock, he's never going to get it. He will never be a free elf. Nobody can give him sock. Nobody know how big his feet is, because every time you run into somebody, he go, give me sock, please. And then you give him sock, and then when you find out that sock doesn't even clear his pinky toe, you're a dead man. You die. He tear you apart and saying,
you're not you, man.
I bet you really wish this sock fit right now, didn't you? And that's when he rip you apart.
If they can make
socks. Just like that.
If they can make socks for Shaq, they can make socks for Bigfoot.
But nobody knows his foot size. That's the thing. He is missing. You cannot find him. And when you do find him, you're not prepared to take a measurement for sock. No. You get you see his face, and he's so angry. He leans forward, look at you through his brows, and he'd be like, give me socks that fit. And you're fucked.
That's every Bigfoot
You are
encounter.
Fucked. You are literally screwed. No one ever has right size. Never too big. That's the problem.
Hot take.
Never
hot,
big enough.
Hot take. Sasquatch doesn't exist. It's just Shaquille O'Neal running around the forest naked.
No, no. Every murderous Bigfoot encounter is Sasquatch being like, give me your socks.
I need your skin.
Let me have sock that fit, please. If you do not have, you die. I don't understand why I have to do that voice every time I'm explaining something about the monster.
You son of a beach.
Oh my god.
I asked Sally if she thinks that Nantinak is a solitary Nantinak, or if there was a clan of them. I think it's a he. He has been living for a long time, Sally says. He's old.
He has been living.
He's tall. He's strong. He's Shaq. It lives in the woods, and you can tell when he's getting near. You can smell him. My mom used to think about it a lot. Like, she thought about it a lot. Especially how it
smelled.
She tells stories of the Bigfoot, like in Dogfish area. Her and her brother would talk about how big Bigfoot was around. They were getting too close to him, and they would be nice, respect him, keep distance. They live with him, but not so close. He moved in around, perfect
harmony.
But he was quick.
But everybody wears socks.
All right, we're past the ad now. Kevin, it's your turn.
All right, Sally served as translator for her cousin, Melania Kell, during her historic interview with the Home Tribune in 2009. That has since taken the Bigfoot believing world by storm. Melania,
how many N's are in that
name? I butchered this name every time.
Isn't it Melania?
It's Melania Trump.
Dude, this is such a hard thing to read, because the second you read the name the first time, you lose brain cells. Just like she does every time she stands next to him during a little speechy poo. she told the reporters that the entire town evacuated Port Chatham in 1949 due to this murderous Sasmo. Dude, my cat is literally climbing my back. Holy ow! Get off!
Got a crow at Kevin's house.
Yes, seriously, this shit freaking hurt.
Silence the raven, Kevin.
Nevermore. her story has been perceived as being factual by authors, documentarians, and Bigfoot buffs like me. I could tell that Sally really wanted to clear the air about the whole murderous Bigfoot controversy. I also sensed a deeper respect for her cousin, Melania. Along with a slight hesitancy. Still no spill the beans. What am I doing?
Still today? What is wrong?
Still to spill the beans.
Hesitancy. We're also determined beans. To
set the story straight. Fucking Christ. I'm just gonna pronounce it wrong every time now, because it makes fine. You so happy.
We're rolling with it now. I like it.
My cousin Melania.
Melania.
was being interviewed, and we were sitting by her. Sally recalls Melania kind of made up a story because she was getting tired of people asking if this story is true. She made up the story.
Of course, look at how serious I am. See my feet? No socks.
The holes of when I ran through the forest.
If they come, they don't fit. I ran away. He didn't kill me. But he was going to. I must
escape the beast.
The Bigfoot was killing people. It wasn't true. Everybody knows that. But it was not our place to say nothing. We just did say nothing. We all knew, but we couldn't just stop her. We were brought up in a way where we can't tell our elders they were wrong. Yeah, it's just called, getting slapped a good one. You just don't let old people do that. Just say no. Easy.
It's in the background. Bullshit, Grandma!
I tell you, it was true. He came out and took everyone's socks.
The dryer isn't what's making your left sock disappear. It is Bigfoot.
You still think Bigfoot's covered in fur? It's really dryer, Lynch. You illiterate pig. Nobody reads the funnies anymore. That's where you find all the good stuff.
Oh, look at Vladimir. He's so smart with his ironing business and dresses and selling shackles.
Everybody knows you people that sell the good snake oil have big noses. Looking at you, you rat-faced bitch.
Are you talking to me?
No.
Yes.
Well, I mean, do you sell good snake oil?
I do. On the weekends. Good. Yeah, it's called Keeg's Big Nose Snake Oil.
The biggest.
Yeah, the biggest in the West.
Snake oil.
I got something in my pocket for you.
And that wasn't her story. Sally giggles. We knew it. There was me and my sisters and my cousins and my dad and my uncle and his grandpa and my grandma and his great uncle. And we couldn't tell her, don't say that Malenia, because she might get mad at us. We were younger than her, and we were not allowed in front of her to say anything like that. Malenia knew that we knew about her story. That
and then it was all bullshit.
You get the socks were just under my pillow the whole time.
She made up.
Melania was stealing the socks.
Yeah, we all had a laugh about it with her. Sally said the reason for the exodus from Port Chatham was more practical in nature.
Like my natural gas problem. The doctor said it's a real doozy. It just won't stop. I actually just plug up to my car and take it to work. I work over 70 miles away and I never get below half.
Below
half. You know why I say loaf? Because I eat carbs and that's how I keep maintaining my levels. That's it. And cabbage. Cabbage is good, good cabbage.
Oh, man. That's how I maintain my levels.
Fucking sauerkraut.
That's just what we call the angry Germans.
The fucking sauerkraut?
You're a sauerkraut.
All right, Manny, you're out.
Why am I out? I want to be a part of this.
I said you're out.
You said you're out. Yeah. What was that about, Keegan?
No, I said you're
out.
Why
are you kicking me out, dude?
Yeah, man, what the hell?
Manny, you're out. Kevin, you're back in.
Are we on people? Is it people?
Yep. That's it. That's the one. People.
People?
People would see.
We're on the people. People with a C.
People would see Nanitech. But that wasn't the only reason why the people have moved this way to Slovdovia and Nanawalek. They moved because the economy, schools, and church. There are really no killings of people. The You're timing no people. Was also coincided with the extension of Alaskan Highway Route 1 to Kenya. And eventually, Omer.
Kenya.
Kenya. Kenya, please tell me what you're saying, but better next time. Please.
For the people in the back. Of the traffic to the road system. When I was raised by the BIA, school was here and things were slowly turning into different culture. But for her, Melania, it was still deep inside her.
So Ooh. Deep.
I think she was also not happy when they would go down to see it. That place, Port Chatham, was also different, abandoned, rotting buildings. No more things to look at she would see growing up. Sally believes that Melania may have been implying, don't bother the area. This is where our connections are strong. Maybe she was grieving and still in pain for her lost old ways that she grew up compared to it, how it became. I think she was doing this like, please do not disrespect. So she made up a story. This land is now owned by Chungnut Corporation.
Just right out of it.
You do not know what it's called, but I can show you where you can find it.
Shugak Corporation. Yeah, it belongs to all of us, Sally says. Sally it says. Was where our culture, that's where our people lived. There, and we have ties there. Since we left, a long lot of boats.
Long boat.
Have come in just to take out stuff.
Yeah.
That was all fruggered up there.
Oof.
Stuff. Just took stuff out.
What was that? You just snorted into their bike.
Old Victrolas, old books, they just disappeared. And now all we have are rotting buildings there. Empty buildings with graffiti. On some of them, when we go down, we are not looking for things. We go down because we want to feel there are people buried there. We want to feel connected to them. Our ancestors are buried there. Part of me comes from these people, and they are buried there.
Oh, I got really
sad all of a sudden.
I feel like I can hear birds. I don't know if that's just because of the story or what.
My page looks completely different than yours, so you're up, Keeks.
Okay. Well, there's only two sections left. I have been wondering if Melanina Mananlinga may have been using her story to ward off intruders, much the same way the farmers did in the Sasquatch documentary, which is, if anyone hasn't seen that, it's a documentary that came out in April of last year, so about a year ago.
And they have not seen that, so that would be kind of fun to watch.
Yeah,
it is all about Sasquatch.
It's on Hulu. Ooh. From what I understand, the basic premise of that movie is that this guy goes to investigate three murders that happen in, what is it called, Humboldt County or Weed County or whatever in Northern California. And it sounds like Sasquatch may have done it. I have yet to watch it, but I want to. Instead, it kind of provided fuel to the Bigfoot geek in us to want to investigate further, find some investigators with the potential to intrude on ancestral land to bring back evidence of Bigfoot at any cost, including the life of a solo, ancient, misunderstood, and highly publicized Nantinak, who seems to only want to be left alone. People come and they're just jumping around looking for him, Sally said. They'll never find him like that, because he will run away from you, and he's fast, you know? We keep telling people, don't go looking for him, and they go and do it anyways. They don't believe us. He's never going to show himself like that. When you're looking for him and thinking you're going to find him, he's not hanging around waiting for people. This reminded me of one of the many ridiculous reality shows on the subject. This one in particular aired on the History Channel about the Hairy Man of Port Catham. In reality, one of the stars of the show informed me that they never actually visited the area, opting for a shoot just off the road system, staging wood knocks and tree breaks for dramatic effect. Sorry to say, the show never made it to season two. That also reminds me, there is a show actually about Portlock. It is called Killer Bigfoot, I think. And it's about descendants of the people who fled Portlock, going back and seeing if it's inhabitable now and if Nantinak has gone away. It's not very good, but the corn in it is really fun to watch. If you follow him, he will hide and he could turn into different animals, Sally describes. You can chase him, and suddenly he disappears behind a tree, and when you get close enough to see him, all you see is a shimmering little mouse, shape-shifting. they would change to different animal. You make you feel sad for them. They said, don't touch them. Just leave them alone.
But I wonder how they would make you feel bad for it. Like, what would they do?
They would cry. Little mouse tears.
In the eyes of Enoch. I don't know the rest of the song, but yeah, bad stuff.
So she has a word of warning to anyone who might have a mind to pull a firearm on Nanti Neck.
It burns. Do not do it. Do not set your arms on fire for Bigfoot.
Too late.
And don't shoot them. You can shoot them, but you'll never kill them, she said. One man tried to do it, but he just took the bullet, pulled it out of his chest. I asked her whether there was any real fear among people of going back to Port Chatham. My mom was born in Dogfish, but grew up in Port Chatham and went to school there, Sally said. Some people are scared. When we go through that area, we are always careful to not make waves and be noisy. We don't want to bother it or offend it because then we might have problems. We don't know how he'll react to us, so that's why we respect it and stay away from it. We know the signs not to chase it around. So where is Alaskan Bigfoot these days? The legend of the Natidakadit.
Oh, solid effort.
I'm only doing this now because it makes Manny mad.
Why? Why would it make me mad?
You like it when we pronounce things the right way.
And I'm, I don't even know how to pronounce it, man. I just make shit up. Not.
You're thinking of me, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
I'm the control freak here. Don't forget it. Don't forget it.
The Sug Pack people always knew the story, but we also know it wasn't a bloodbath like it's being told. Sally said Bigfoot never killed anybody. If anything, he ran away. He didn't want to be around people. He's out of there. He lives among us. So what do you mean he's out of there, but he's here? Like, that makes no sense. I asked Sally if there's any sightings in Nanwalek, as I had heard stories that potentially
Nanticock
followed the people from Port Chatham. We don't see him anymore here. We don't see any, Sally affirms. They just moved far away from people is all we know. Sadly, story rings true. The facts are that there really are no facts. In my research, I was unable to find any of the 36 murdered and missing persons reports over that time span. Sally reminds me it was misinformation. The only real death in the town that had lumber and fishing as its main occupation was the logger pummeled by a piece of logging equipment.
The wood, it's so hard.
I get smashed at work.
Yeah, so that's Nanticock and Portlock, Alaska. Sounds like they just moved to a really terrible spot. And they're like, oh, no, we should probably go before the bears eat us. But, you know.
You know, it's really hard slaughtering all these deer with these fucking carnivores out in these woods. Every time I slaughter a deer, it's like 3 or 4 big-ass bears come out here. Last one we caught, we called them Nanticock.
Nanticock.
Nanticock. Ginormous. He tried to eat all of the back strap, got some of the leg. We had to hang that bitch off a porch. You know how tall our porch needed to be? They put that on stilts.
Yeah, we had to name the town Porch Lock because of it. You know, we had to lock up the porch, make it strong.
And that's how I invented sunrooms.
We made jerky.
And the teenagers never got in the pool again.
All right. Okay.
And they never made it back. The bastards. Need yourself a pool pass before you can do that.
Kevin, you can. Kevin's having dramatic flashbacks to work, I think.
Little bastards. Think they can come onto my property and use my pool without my permission? Nope. Not this time. The police will take care of that. I tell you. If they don't, I will.
That's Kevin's security guard voice for work.
I'll put a grilled cheese sandwich in their back pocket right off of the skillet and push them over and they'll fall on their butt. And when they do, it's going to release all the molten cheese. And then it's going to burn their little butts until they run all the way home. Because they can't jump in my pool to put it out. Nope. Not this time. Nope. Burned butts from grilled cheese sandwiches.
Speaking of which, do you guys do that magic dye stuff so when someone pees in the pool, it turns blue?
I wish.
Because that bitch should be blue all the time.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So, the town of Portlock, Alaska.
True. I don't have the link for that.
Not Teenock? Or is it just another campfire tale? Wait, that's the wrong song. I don't have the outro, guys.
Isn't it the same one?
No, not really.
No, it has an ending thing to it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening in. We missed all of you.
Oh, wait. I have the outro.
Thanks for tuning in, you crazy bastards.
Don't get caught by the Nanty Cat.
With a grilled cheese in your back pocket.
Make sure and you
that's coming from
stock.
Me, the maintenance man.
So much silence. All of it. Push the button, Keeks.
Do it, I'm hungry, I want to eat dinner.
Keeks is gone.
No, I'm here. I'm just waiting for the outro.
And remember, campers, don't go wandering too far from the campfire. There are things in the woods watching you, waiting for you to come into the dark.